Of your Bible, turn with me, please, over to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, and follow along, please, as I read beginning at verse 6. Titus 2 and 6. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity and doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the innocent will be put, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. Urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that they will adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, shine a light on this passage so that we can best understand what you have said here and determine how you would have us apply it to our hearts and to our minds. We will not be hearers only, but we will be doers of your word, obedient to what we are taught from your word. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All of us as Christians must be aware of our responsibility to the next generation as faithful examples. You may remember from verse 5, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. We must be honest and obedient in what we see, what we're taught, what God tells us. And we must be successful in that when we are honest and obedient. It is demonstrated in our lives that it works. There should be those ahead of us that we can look to for examples as to how to live, but at the same time, understanding that there are those behind us who are watching, and they too want to make right choices and live lives that reflect the success of obedience, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Too many things are being said, too many things are being done in the name of the church, in the name of Christ, that are not true, that are ugly. And it is dishonoring to our God, to our Lord and Savior. Now Paul addresses young men, including Titus, and bond slaves or employees. First, the young men in Titus, verse 3:6. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. And that's all he says. Why is that all he says? Sensible. Think, guys. Well, at least a portion of that is assuming that we were paying attention to verse 2. That we were paying attention to the examples that have been given to us when he told those who have gone before us to live dignified, sound in faith, love, and perseverance. Remember that from verse 2? Now, young men, Those of you who are blessed with those kinds of examples, make good choices. Translate that idea of being dignified. Not dull or sour, but understanding the significance of what you're doing when you're doing it. Sound in faith, remember that word sound means healthy, strong, practical, useful, all of those things. So sound in faith, which means you've got to know what you believe, why you believe it, and live it. Because it's real, it's practical. It informs the choices that you make. Sound in love. Constantly, continually asking yourself, what can I do for others? A need pops to the surface, and the first thing you ask yourself is, how can I help? Because the first thing that comes to mind is the other and his or her need. Sound in perseverance. Sticking to it. Patience, endurance, all fits. I have, we should have, examples of those who have demonstrated what it means to stay at it. We're blessed, living in this area, with the example of many godly farmers. Lessons regularly in perseverance. Now, when you add to that the recognition that a particular farmer has been blessed and he knows it, that the strength to persevere, to keep going, is a gift from God, and that the harvest is his, God's, all the better example. And others. By their example, who have simply worked hard at what they do, whatever it is. And it is certainly true. In pursuing Christ, pursuing Christ-likeness, pursuing the will of God, the mind of God. To persevere, to endure, to be patient, to wait, to keep at it. A lifelong pursuit. How you respond will be noticed by the next generation. So be sensible. No matter who you are, somebody's watching. Somebody's looking to you as an example. Then in verses 7 and 8, actually right in the middle of a sentence, Paul switches his focus from young men in general to Titus in particular. In all things, show yourself. Now he's bringing it down to Titus, to this one person. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. And as I said when we began this section back in 1 Timothy, Whenever Paul specifically addresses, whether it was Timothy or here Titus, he's also addressing your pastor. Show yourself to be an example of good deeds. Now, let me be very practical here. I hope practical in terms of my own life and my own experience. You see, there are some things I do just because it's my job. So I don't get any credit for that when it comes to good deeds. I'm just doing my job. But this is something that just dawned on me this week. Jim and I help at the food pantry. And almost every week, and I think it's because I'm a pastor, but almost every week, two or three say, "Oh, thank you, Pastor, for coming and helping." And you know, I've been doing it for a little while, and just to show I'm not the sharpest pencil in the box, it finally occurred to me this week that the reason I go and the reason I enjoy it so much is because it's an opportunity to do a good deed. It's an opportunity to flesh out my concern for the community, my concern to work with others who have a concern for the community. And I wouldn't have that opportunity if it weren't for the folks who established the food pantry, for the guy who goes to Florida every winter and needed a replacement, and I got to go, and I got to, and I found out I liked it and enjoyed it. I did that for what, 2 or 3 years, and then I stayed. And it seems to be okay. All of that to say, Titus, Pastor Dan, look for things you can do outside of the realm of your pastorly duties, what everybody expects you to be doing, to demonstrate your concern. Do you have concern? Sure, I always have. But it's a wonderful way to express it. Look for things like that. Ways to express your faith, ways to demonstrate the goodness of God with others. With purity in doctrine. Purity in the sense that, again, knowing what you believe, teaching consistently, but living consistently as well. Doctrine is only so good up to a point. And at that point, it must be lived. Otherwise, it's just something you know. You can know what the Bible says about, and your doctrine is perfect. But if you're not living consistently with that, if you're ignoring that or disobeying that, then it's not purity in doctrine. So it's not just a matter of dotting your I's and crossing your T's, just like you should, Pastor, but be living it too, so that people can see what happens when you live that way. Sound in speech. Again, healthy, helpful. Watch what you say and how you say it. And again, we're living in a day when there are many who have chosen to, well, to fall into, I think, the trap of believing that the only way you can communicate to some people is to talk the way they talk. And as a result, all kinds of crude and vulgar and inappropriate language has crept into our pulpits. And the excuse is, well, I need to communicate. And if they don't understand, I need to communicate that way. Now, this reflects how old I am, but some of you will remember the name David Wilkerson. The book, Cross and a Switchblade. David was a man who took the gospel to the heart of New York. And at that time, late 60s, early 70s, again, the church was in a phase where they thought that the only way you could minister to people in the inner city was to look like and act like them. You had to fit in. One day, the head of a biker gang stopped David Wilkerson and said, "You know, when you came and you shared the gospel with us, you didn't look like us, you didn't act like us, you didn't talk like us. We listened to you. You clearly had something different to say." They listened, and many believed. Paul is telling Titus, Paul is telling our current generation, just as some in the past have learned, there's value in sound speech. And all of this, so the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about it. Don't give the enemy any ammunition. Teach the truth, live the truth consistently. And then the objections are with the Word of God. The objections are with what God has said, not with what you have said. And now for bond slaves, employees. Urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything. Be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith. Now, Paul uses the word bond slaves. It's a word that almost always refers to slaves, those in slavery, but can also refer to those who have been indentured. The best way for us to understand this in terms of our own experience is as an employee. So when he says, be subject to their own masters in everything, it's a reminder that as employees, we need to remember who's in charge. Are they always right? You know. But if they're in charge, follow their direction. Long before I needed it, this was brought home to me in middle school, back when we called it junior high. I had a math teacher who was also the high school wrestling coach. And his motto was, "I may not always be right, but I am always teacher." And that worked until the day he threw a fellow student up against the chalkboard and we suddenly realized that even he couldn't do everything he wanted to. But I learned an important point. It's good to know who's in charge. And if you're going to be a good employee and someone has placed someone over you to supervise you, to make sure you do your work, do a good job in a timely manner, you need to listen. To be well-pleasing. And I know, you think of all kinds of things that make that unpleasant, but The idea is, again, just being a good employee, doing a good job. Again, a professor in school told us that when he would work through the summer, his fellow employees were constantly on him. You're working too fast. You're working too hard. You're making us look bad. Well, all he was doing was what he'd been told to do. And just because the supervisor wasn't eyes on all the time, he thought that meant he still had to do what he was told to do. The others thought that meant they didn't have to. Well, he was being well-pleasing. Was he being unreasonable? Was he trying to draw attention to himself? Not on purpose. He was just doing what he was told. Not argumentative. And that's tough for some of us. For some of us, the first thing that comes out of our mouth after we hear something is almost always, yeah, but, or you know what I'd do? Now, there's a place for that, depending upon where you're at in the strata of things, to offer your opinion. Regularly, it's best when you're asked. But to be known as someone who's constantly challenging, constantly creating trouble, I'll just mark that for a moment. Not pilfering, boy, I hope we don't have to spend any time there. Whether it's time or treasure. Don't take what isn't yours. But showing all good faith. Now here, this is not the faith to believe the gospel. This is credibility. This is integrity. That faith. Sincerity. Genuineness. That's the context here. For the word faith, showing all good faith. You are who you say you are. You do what you say you do. You say what you mean what you say. You're that kind of a person. Now we stopped in the middle of a verse because the last part of it begins our conclusion. So that they will adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. How you work, your work ethic will adorn the doctrine. It will be consistent with what you have been taught. So that when you have the opportunity to share the gospel, Your fellow employees will think, well, where did that come from? Is he trying to tell us now he's some kind of a Christian? He takes every bit as long a break as I do. He's late. His work is just as shoddy as mine. And now he wants to tell me he's a Christian? And he wants me to listen to his testimony? So that the way we live, our work ethic, will be consistent with the doctrine that we say that we believe in every respect. We will live lives that reflect evidence of who we are. And in my mind, the capstone of that is the fruit of the Spirit from Genesis 5, or from Galatians 5. The evidence that you are who you say you are. You say you're a child of God. You say the Holy Spirit lives within you. What should your life reflect? Whether it's as an old man, a young man, an old woman, a young woman, an employee, or an employer. Love. If you're a Christian in any of those positions, love should be a part of who you are and how you respond. Joy. Again, not happiness, but joy. Joy in knowing who's in control and how even this situation can work to our benefit. Peace. A peaceful person. Not a troublemaker. A peaceful person. Patient. You know, enduring. Kind. Gentle. Good. Faithful. Self-control. That should be reflected in who we are. If we are who we say we are. These are the things that we're supposed to be demonstrating. These are the character traits that those who are coming behind should see in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Because you're so doggone wonderful? No. Because the Spirit of God Himself lives within you. And this is evidence of His presence. Character traits that anyone should be able to see. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I know that what is written here is true. I pray, Father, that any light that I have attempted to shine on it is also accurate and will help each of us to take this truth that's written here before us and apply it to our lives. We are all works in progress. None of us is where we should be or where we will be. But we are all in Christ, moving toward being more like Him. May we advance in that process this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.